Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Church, so good to see you. You look so well. Are you well? You are well. Online, you look good too. In my faith, I have faith that you look good today. Why don't you reach out, everybody? Lift your hands. Before we do anything, let's look to Jesus. Maybe you came in here today feeling far from God. I want you to know you are just one turn away from God. Just one posture shift where you've been living your life in your own strength. If you will come to God, turn your heart to Him today. He is near. And we do this because we know He's alive. He's not dead. And He's not distant. He's here now. The kingdom of heaven is here now. And so we thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who set us free, delivers us from evil, forgives us of all our sin, washes us, cleanses us, makes us whole. We honor you today, Jesus, for the cross. We honor you today that you are God with us. And we thank you, Jesus, you send the Holy Spirit who fills us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Spirit of God, you live in us. Spirit of God, you're upon us. Spirit of God, you minister to us that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are children of God. We are free and free indeed. And so, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, come. Come and do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. Speak to us in between what I say today, in between every scripture and everything we are getting around today. Holy Spirit, whisper. You whisper because you're near. Lord, you whisper. The enemy yells, people yell, but God whispers because He's close. He is the shepherd of our soul. And I think, Holy Spirit, you're whispering, you're speaking. So, Father, give us ears to hear. God, give us hearts that are receptive. Lord, let your word come alive in us today. In Jesus' mighty name, the name that is above every name, the name that saves, we thank you, Jesus. We honor you. We bless you. We worship you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come like fresh wind, Holy Spirit. Breathe on us. In Jesus' name. They all said, come on, church, a good hearty amen today. Amen, amen, amen. Why don't you hug three people if it's appropriate, handshake if it's not, holy kiss if you really love them. Just go for it. Come on. So good. So fun to be in church. It's good getting wrapped. And it's such a good season. Jessen sends her love. She's at our Hornsby location today. And I grew up in Hornsby. Come on, Hornsby. And I was there recently at our Hornsby location and I met this beautiful family, this Nigerian family, three beautiful kids, and they just moved to our church. And so I said, where do you guys live? And they said, we live in Hornsby. And I said, oh, I grew up in Hornsby. And I said, what part of Hornsby? They said, Hornsby Heights. I said, well, I grew up in Hornsby Heights too. I said, look, I know a few streets around there. Try me. What street did you live on? And they said, a street called Maranta Street. I said, I know that street. I grew up on Maranta Street. I said, what number house? Yeah. What number house do you live in? And they said, 25 Maranta Street. And I said, I grew up in 25 Maranta Street, Hornsby Heights. What is going on? I didn't even know what that means, but it must be good, I hope. I mean, my dad built that house. We pray for that house, Lord, that it keeps standing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless them. Yeah, and also, I wanted to celebrate Brad and Lynette Thornton here today. Where are they? There they are. Can you give it up for Brad and Lynette Thornton? Now, everybody, they are moving to Coffs Harbor. Everyone say boo. Yeah. No. We just wanted to say we love you guys so much. Brad and Lynette have been 30 years in our church, raised 5 incredible children. They have 6 incredible children, which I knew. I was just testing them. And they have grandchildren everywhere, but their family in Coffs Harbour. They're taking jobs up there, and we just want to honour you guys. They played a really key role in our Manly location. They have been coaches of our Connect groups, been on our pastoral support team. And guys, you have loved people well. You've shepherded so well, and our church wouldn't be what it is today without you. So we honour you, we love you, and we bless you guys. And make sure you visit every week. Yeah, I'm joking. Love you heaps. All right. Oh, I did want to say this. So it's Christmas season, everybody. You know that, right? Yeah, good. So the thing we want to talk about, like Saundi was saying, we got this focus on being on mission. And what I want to encourage you is that being on mission is a lifestyle. It's not just like a one-off thing. It's a lifestyle. And I just want to encourage you, let's really adopt the posture of 2 things. Number one, loving people everywhere we go. You know, like I just had this couple, this crew move in across the road from us, and they're brand new in the area. And we went down and helped them, you know, welcomed them to our street and said, you know, guys, if we can help you move in or if we can do anything for you, we'd love to. And we just went and loved on them. And then we went and saw our other neighbors who are renovating, and we hate them because they're about 20 years ahead of us. And so we got 20 more years of renovations, but they're nearly finished. But we went in and we looked at their house and celebrated and said, wow, you guys are amazing. We love you. And let's hang out. We'll come to yours. Don't come to ours. And then, you know, I've shared this before, but Jessen had this word for our place where we live when we moved in. She saw the word life on our house. And she saw that word jump onto the neighbor's house. And so we've been doing communion every night at the moment. And so we have a list of people we're praying for. And we are praying for our neighbor. And it turns out he, when he was young, he won Australia's Got Talent. And he was actually in our youth ministry as a young man. And so we are praying for him. He's kind of on a journey. And we are just praying for him every night that God's going to do something. And so here's the goal. Our goal is not first necessary to get him to a service. That will be part of the journey, but we just want to get him over for dinner, and we just want to hang out with this guy. And I want to encourage you, church, this of any time to be really overtly generous. I want you to be looking for opportunities just to love on people. Amen. The second thing I want you to do is get that testimony out of your back pocket, blow the dust off it, and have it ready. Like Shan was sharing so beautifully her testimony of what God has done and how she met Christ, I want to encourage you, have your testimony ready. Because if you start working with the Holy Spirit, start praying, start doing acts of kindness and loving on people, there will be an opportunity where you can share how you met God, how you met Jesus, and I want you to be ready for it. Amen? Come on, church, you're with me today. Amen. Let's be ready in this season. Okay, let's go to Philippians. The book of Philippians, written by Paul to the church in Philippi. Do you have your Bible? 5 people. Can I see 10? Can I see? Yeah. Grab your Bible. I want you to bring your Bible every week to church. If you're a guest here today, huge welcome. We're so glad you're here. We have a big Bible on the screen, so don't sweat it. Go to Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Honestly, one of the most amazing passages of Scripture you'll ever read. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Are you there? Come on, talk to me, church. Okay, 5 to 11. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that good? And here's what I want you to catch today. The thing about this scripture was one of the earliest hymns in the early church. And it was a hymn that they would sing and celebrate. And you know, they had this conviction and faith that the incarnation of Jesus Christ was a humbling process where Jesus set aside his deity to become man. You know that old carol? Anyone like carols? Like, we love the lady carol, but we also like to sing, you know, carols. All right, whatever. Hark, the herald angels sing. You know that carol? Well, I want to read you one of the lines. It's a beautiful, beautiful carol. It says, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Sounds like I'm reading a book to my son, doesn't it? Late in time, behold him come, offspring of virgin's womb. Offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Go to Philippians 2 again. Keep that scripture on the screen, everybody. Look at that. Philippians 2, 6 to 8. Who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. Everybody, some quick theology. Is that all right? Some quick theology about the incarnation, because Christmas is the incarnation of Jesus Christ, and it is not his creation. Jesus didn't start existing at Christmas. He has always existed. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Son of God was not born at Christmas, but he was incarnated. He came in human form. And he didn't lose his divine nature when he came in human form. He added another nature. He was still divine, 100%. And then fully human, 100%. And if your mind can't handle that, yes, your mind can't handle that. It is a mystery. It's God. And his human form and divine form were unified. And Jesus walked the earth. Philippians 2:7, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. So here's what I want to do. I want you to catch two things that the incarnation means for us. God with us. What does it mean for us? Two things I want you to catch quickly before we go anywhere else today. Number one, it actually means that Jesus was validating our human form. When God created, he said, it is good. Right, everybody? When he created, he looked at creation and said, this is good. And we read in scripture about the flesh, but often in scripture, when we read about the flesh, it's not talking about your physical body. It's actually talking about your fallen nature, your flesh. And that's why it says, put to death the flesh, resist the flesh, and walk in the spirit. But the thing you need to understand is your body is good. God made your body. And your body is actually a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 19, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church and he says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Everybody, how you doing? How we look after our body matters. Jesus walked in a human body, and it validates that his creation is good, and it should encourage us that we are, your body is good, and you should look after your body. You should rest well. Come on. You should drink water. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mark, taught me that. Drink water. You should exercise. You should look after your body. It should be something, it should be a vehicle that we look after, that we treat with honor and respect. And so you should look in the mirror. I want you to go home this week, look in the mirror and say, you are good. You are real good. You are. Saundy's been doing that all morning. And so I want you to do that. I want you to get the revelation that your body is good. Respect your body, because Jesus walked in a body and he puts value on the human body. It is something that he created and it is good. Amen. Second thing that it says about us, the incarnation, is that we are worth the sacrifice. Do you know that Jesus' sacrifice didn't begin just on the cross? It began at the incarnation. When Jesus laid down his divine form, he was in a divine form, and he laid down his divine form to walk among us, and then his body died, but he was resurrected. And do you know that he rules and reigns the universe now in a resurrected body? He laid down his divine form for eternity, forever, for you and me, that we too could stare into his eyes one day. We know in part, one day we're gonna know him in full. And when we look at him, we will see him in resurrected form. We'll see the holes in his hands, the holes in his feet. And he did it because he loves you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son. Jesus didn't come up as a souped up human. He came up in human flesh like you and me. He looked ordinary, they said. They said you wouldn't recognize him, but he was 100% divine, but 100% human. He came not to be served, but to serve. And if you've been wondering, if you've been trying to work out, does God value me? Am I really valuable? Does God love me? Is my life valuable? Is my life meaningful? You should come to Christmas season every year and be reminded that you are so valuable, that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth for you. You are of great worth to God. And the reality is, every one of us, every human, has a love deficit. You do. We all do. We live our lives with a level of love deficit. And so the love of God is the agape love of God. Have you heard of this before? Agape love of God? That's right, you're allowed to talk to me. Talk to me. Agape love of God. Selfless, unconditional love. The agape love of God is really important in our lives because it is the only love that actually enables us to love wholly and love as God loves. Have you heard of these other loves? Eros love, have you heard of this? If you haven't, eros love is like romantic love. Philia love is like a brotherly friend love, sisterly love. A storge love is family love. And here's the thing, if you are trying to love others without agape love, you are loving with a deficit. And most of our world are trying to love others from a love deficit. And they're wondering why these relationships, and you and I will wonder why these connections aren't working. And the reason it's not working is because we're trying to relate from a love deficit. But when you relate from a love deficit, you will always be using relationships to get love. How you doing? rather than coming to a relationship to give love. And that is at the root of a broken relationship, that I'm taking, not giving. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. So the blessing of a healthy relationship is not what you're getting, it's actually what you're giving. That's where your relationships thrive. That's where marriages thrive. That's where things are healthy and strong. But if you do not have the agape love of God, the selfless, unconditional love of God, every other form of love will be broken. But when you have a revelation of the agape love of God in your life, it brings perfect love into your soul. And now it starts to form how you operate in eros love, in philia love, in storge love. No longer are you trying to take, you are now postured to give. You know, like I'm an achiever. That's my personality type. And so I love progress. I love achieving. I love it. But the thing about it is if I, in my achiever personality, operate with a love deficit in my achieving, I will find myself using achievement to fulfill a need for approval, a need for affirmation, a need for progress. And before you start judging me about my personality type, you have one too. And your love deficit is messing it up as well. So when you get the agape love of God at the root of your personality, so for me, when I every day allow God to deal with my love deficit, when I look at Him and allow Him to fill my heart, allow Him to complete my soul, when I come to Him, now my achiever personality is dangerous for the kingdom of heaven. Because I'm no longer using it to get value. I'm no longer using it to get affirmation. I'm already valuable. I'm already loved by God. I'm a child of God. So now I'm going to serve God selflessly, not needing any credit, but to make an impact for the kingdom. When you get your love deficit in your life, when you bring it to God, when you remember that God with us means that He came from heaven to earth and He laid down His divine form to put on human form, to walk among us. So come back to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, come back to that scripture, guys. Put it back on the screen. I'd love you to put it up on the NIV. Put it up on the in the NIV. Philippians 2, 6 to 11 says this, verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have here, we see that the incarnation means things for us, but it also is our example. Jesus is the blueprint of how our lives are meant to look. Jesus is the blueprint of what it means to be a Christian. And what did He do? He humbled Himself under the mighty hand of God. And He humbled Himself before others. And can I just say a disclaimer? Little disclaimer, is that all right? The thing about humbling yourself is humility is coming either way. So you do have two options. You can wait to be humbled, or you can humble yourself. And even for the person that lives their whole life never humbling themselves, even for that person, when they meet God, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Humility is coming, everybody. And you have a choice. You have a window called life where you can either wait to be humbled or you can choose humility. And Jesus gives us the blueprint as the church on what it's got to look like. And the best way is to humble yourself, to come under the mighty hand of God. It says that he didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. But he humbled himself under God and before others. He made himself a servant. He washed his disciples' feet. Come on, everybody. Jesus, the King of Kings, washed his disciples' feet. Number one, that is disgusting. Number two, like, how bad are feet? Number two, feet in Scripture actually are really significant, because when someone would come and sit at someone's feet, it was a sign of surrender. It's a sign that I am submitting myself to you. So when Mary and Martha, you know that story, Mary and Martha? And Mary sits at Jesus' feet. Martha's busy preparing everything, but Mary sits at Jesus' feet. You know that moment? Martha's annoyed, but Mary's sitting there, and she is listening to Jesus. Well, sitting at the feet of Jesus was submitting her life to God. Because spending time with God is good, but who knows, you can spend time with God and it not be submitted time with God. The thing that changes your life is not just time with God, it's actually submitted time with God. It's when you come before the Lord, where you get out your Scripture, you get out the Word, and you submit to it. And so we read in Scripture, like the people of God, they brought their offerings and they laid them at the feet of the apostles, saying, hey, we submit this finance to you. Use it for the kingdom. Do what you see needs to be done to build the church. So feet means that Jesus, listen, Jesus, in washing the disciples' feet, said, I, God, am submitting myself to you. He laid himself down to his disciples and he served them. Everybody, this is the blueprint for the church, that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and we actually humble ourselves towards one another. We humble ourselves under God because, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know that great Pentecostal scripture that we love? Come on, all the Pentecostals. Wow, where are you? You know that scripture? It's a great scripture. Resist the devil. Yeah, you know that one? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We love that scripture. We walk around like this. Yeah, devil. Yeah, devil. I resist you. It's true. But you got to understand, the devil's not afraid of you. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, you in you is not the hope of glory. Like, you're great, but you're not that good. You in you is not the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And that's why before it says resist the devil in James 4 verse 6, it first says three words, shut up, submit to God. The enemy's not afraid of you. He's afraid of the authority that you're under. And so if you're going to walk in life with power and authority as a follower of Jesus, your number one thing is to submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. And then it goes beyond that. It says we humble ourselves before each other. Prior to what we just read in Philippians 2, 6, in Philippians 2, 3 to 4, put it up on the screen, guys. Look at this. 3 to 4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Paul said it again in Romans 12:10. He said, love one another with brotherly affection, ESV, outdo one another in showing honor. In the NIV, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. This is the posture. This is the blueprint of what Christmas is actually all about. It's that we humble ourselves under the hand of God and that we humble ourselves towards one another. That we don't have any entitlement, that we don't walk around with any presumptions or assumptions, that we don't come to church expecting everyone to greet you. Why don't you come and greet everybody? That means why don't you honor others? Why don't you serve others? This is the posture of what it means to look like Jesus. This is what Christmas is all about. It's why we have connect groups. So you can like actually eyeball each other. Because right now you're just eyeballing me. But you need circles you can sit in and actually look at each other and know what's really going on in each other's lives. Something me and my connect group, we just started doing to help each other in our devotion with God, to actually wake up every morning and submit our lives to God, is I put a message in our WhatsApp group. I got this from Manny Hastings, one of our great connect group leaders. I heard he was doing this in his connect group, so I copied him. And I didn't tell him I took the credit. So I'm joking. I don't need the credit. So I said to my group, every morning I'm going to text you, how did you go this morning? And you just put a tick or a thumbs down. And we've been doing that every morning. And just trying to walk with each other humbly under the mighty hand of God. This is why we have connect groups. We're serving each other as a group. We're looking after each other, praying for each other. Seeing how, can I go visit you in the hospital? Can I look after you? This is what the body of Christ is meant to look like. The one another's of Scripture. There are 64 one another's. And it's for the body of Christ. It's not for a pastor on staff. It's for the body of Christ to love one another, to honor each other above ourselves. Jesus, the most significant person in history, he went so low, even death on a cross. The worst way you could die, he did it. Significance in the kingdom never is up here. Significance in the kingdom is always low. It's always low. Come low to be significant. Look at this scripture one more time. Worship team, you can join me. Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, Jesus never pushed himself forward. He never defended himself. He never justified himself. He never. In the face of false accusation, trial, he just remained. And that's our blueprint. That you don't need to defend yourself or justify yourself, but you can trust God. Look what it says in the last part of Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, everybody, he will lift you up. You don't need to make it happen. The world says, make it happen. Push yourself forward. Fight for the credit. Get noticed. And if you're living like that, it's exhausting. But Jesus shows us that when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God at the proper time, Peter says, he will exalt us. Look what 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7 says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Can you close your eyes with me? As a church, we don't ever need to push ourselves forward. We're not entitled to anything. We're not presumptuous about anything. We are humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, prayer is proof of humility. It's a sign that I need God.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.